One of the things we're seeing is that, you know, we didn't associate inflammation as much with mental health, but research has now made this connection that inflammation is often the driver behind conditions like anxiety, even cognitive disorders, and more even attentional disorders. So I think that, you know, we need to understand where the inflammation is coming from. And one of the things we need to think about is, what is inflammation?
Hello there, friends. Welcome back to the Happy Habit Podcast. I'm Matthew. Here, we like to talk about health and well-being. So if that is your shtick, well, then you're in the right place. There are over 350 episodes in the Happy Habit archive. Lots and lots of different topics. Interviews with leaders in the health and well-being space. Do check them out. If you've already done so, well, thank you for tuning in. And do like, subscribe and share. And leave the podcast a positive review, because it helps to spread the message of what we're doing here into the world. The new year only around the corner. Perhaps you see the new start that lies ahead as a beginning, as an opportunity to optimize your mental and physical health and well-being. Well, you could do worse than check out nutritional psychiatrist Dr. Uma Naidu's new book. It's called Calm Your Mind with Food, A Revolutionary Guide to Controlling Your Anxiety. And I spoke with Dr. Naidu recently about her book. And in this episode, we hear about the emerging field of nutritional psychiatry, a field which I was unaware of until this point, and how the foods we eat can affect our mood, our emotional resilience and mental health. We hear about how inflammation can contribute to anxiety. We discover that saffron is one of the many foods that can help support our mental health. Expect to learn whether anxiety and depression can actually coexist. We learn that supplementation, in addition to diet, can help make a positive contribution to our psychological well-being. Plus, we find out one of Dr. Naidu's favorite mental health promoting recipes. Well, I'm joined today on the Happy Habit Podcast by nutritional psychiatrist Dr. Uma Naidu. She is the author of the soon-to-be-released book Calm Your Mind with Food, A Revolutionary Guide to Controlling Your Anxiety. And might I say, congratulations on the new book, Dr. Naidu. If you have half of the success with this book as you did with your previous book, This Is Your Brain on Food, it'll do very, very well.
Thank you, Matthew. I appreciate your good wishes. Fingers crossed. I really wanted to help more people. So,
okay, so at the heart of this book is the connection between your dietary choices, your emotional resilience and your mental health. Now, this is going to be a new departure for people, for many people, because they wouldn't have made the connection between the link between what you put in your mouth and your psychological well-being. Can you talk to us about this?
Well, I often say to people, you know, what happens when you have a headache? Do you ever take a headache pill? And, you know, I'll say facetiously to them, do you take the pill and drop it on your head? Not really. You take a glass of water and you swallow it. So in a very simple way, why isn't it that we, why has it taken us so long to figure out that connection of what we consume in terms of food also is affecting all parts of the brain? But we know that medical science had to really unfold. And so the newest science around the gut-brain connection and the gut microbiome, which really has evolved in the last decade and a half to two decades with an abundance of research, helped us understand that the gut-brain connection explains the food-mood connection. So you're absolutely correct. Most of the time when we think about food, people think about their waistlines or their weight, the number on the scale, versus anything to do with our emotional resilience.
The field of nutritional psychiatry is pretty new. You're at the forefront of that.
It is definitely a new and emerging field. It's nascent. The part of it is that the research is emerging as we go. We certainly don't know it all. But what's evolving is enough for us to get active on the subject. Because, you know, my viewpoint, Matthew, is that we all eat. We eat more than once a day. And it's part of our lifestyle that we can actually change. We can adapt. We can think more deeply about. And I think that this is where it's really accessible to all people and available to all people.
Can we touch upon the six pillars you detail in the book to help calm the mind?
So, you know, I'm going to touch on a couple of them. And there are sort of general nutritional psychiatry pillars, and then pillars that we go through in the book. But one of them is, you know, just eating an abundance of those plant-based foods. So one of the reasons I want to emphasize this is people often talk about the colors of the rainbows and things like that. But really, it's the plant polyphenols that are interacting with the gut microbes to then help with neurotransmitter production. And the neurotransmitters are really moving up and down, back and forth via the vagus nerve and helping this connection. So it's one of the things that I want people to really be thinking more deeply about. It's not the way that it's often conveyed, which is, you know, eat this and not that, that type of mentality. I'm suggesting more plant-based foods because of the fiber and the phytonutrients that are going to help calm your mind is one of the things that you could be doing.
We are hearing the term inflammation constantly, be it systemic, chronic. It affects so many aspects of human health, including our neurological and our psychological health. Can you talk to us about inflammation?
You know, inflammation, especially when I noticed with research that was going on during the pandemic and inflammation and basically research that I've been involved in, one of the things we're seeing is that, you know, we didn't associate inflammation as much with mental health, but research has now made this connection that inflammation is often the driver behind conditions like anxiety, even cognitive disorders and more even attentional disorders. So I think that, you know, we need to understand where the inflammation is coming from. And one of the things we need to think about is what is inflammation? For, you know, when we are running or playing soccer and we injure a foot or scrape a knee, inflammation, acute inflammation is very important to help heal that injury. But in the body, when we're talking about, you know, nutritional psychiatry and these issues around worry and stress and anxiety, we're talking about a more chronic insidious anxiety. And this gets set up one of the ways besides stress and other factors, poor sleep as well, is diet, what we're eating. So if we are consuming mostly a diet of fast foods, junk foods, processed, ultra-processed foods, sort of a typical standard American diet, which is called SAD for a reason, and then that's going to drive inflammation in the body and especially in the gut. And inflammation in the gut leads to an imbalance of those gut microbes, leading to a condition called dysbiosis. It also means that those inflammatory byproducts of those foods that we're eating are more damaging to the gut and start to damage the single cell lining. And when it does that, we get conditions like leaky gut or intestinal permeability being set up. So inflammation is actually at the root cause of a lot of these issues. And a very powerful adjustment that we can make is how we're eating to help lower the inflammation and allow for some healing of the gut to happen.
Can we explore the microbiome a little more? How important is it that we have a diverse microbiome for our mental and our physical health?
It's extremely important and something that many people overlook. That's why we talk about the colors of food, the variety of plant foods. One of the main reasons is fiber is a huge nutrient needed by the gut microbes. So there are trillions of microbes that live in the gut. The most studied in research are the bacteria, but there are viruses, protozoa, archaea, fungi, and more. There are 300 trillion, there are these trillions of them in the gut, and they interact with the food that we eat. So think about it this way. On a day that you're eating a healthy salad, the microbes help with digestion. They're involved in that process. And the breakdown process and products are actually short-chain fatty acids. The short-chain fatty acids are very helpful and healthy for our gut. They actually fend off inflammation. They have good and positive qualities. But on days of your pattern, I should say, not just one day, but if what you're really consuming is that standard American diet of fast foods and highly sugared processed, ultra-processed foods, the breakdown products are more toxic. And that means that those gut microbes break down the product, but what gets really almost activated are the bad microbes that eat those foods and thrive on those foods. And when those microbes thrive, they upset that balance to really start to form inflammation and dysbiosis in the gut.
On the subject again of the microbiome, what role would the consumption of fermented foods play then in this regard?
Well, a very important study was completed and published in a highly reputable journal called Cell. The study was published in summer of 2021, and it really looked at the addition of fermented foods into the diet and how it showed that adding fermented foods helped lower inflammation. And so I feel a very simple lifestyle tip that we could have is adding fermented foods into our diet on a daily basis. Start slowly, build that up, but having them as part of what you eat is extremely important. They also bring live active cultures to your microbes, adding to that diversity. The colors, the textures of food, the flavors, the polyphenols, all of these things add to the biodiversity of our microbiome, which is hugely important for the health of our microbiome. And a healthy gut is, you know, a mind that is happier and with less stress. So it's all connected.
When we're talking about mental health and mental well-being, terms like anxiety and depression will come up. As a matter of interest, generally speaking, do both anxiety and depression coexist? Do they happen at the same time?
You know, it's sometimes difficult to tease them apart. But in my clinical practice and in really seeing so many patients over these decades of work, very often they coexist. But the presenting symptom may be more anxiety, but very often, and in fact, many of the treatments are similar, they can often coexist. So I think it's important for us to understand that if someone is complaining and feeling anxiety, they may also have a component of a mood disorder. And so we just need to tease that apart and figure out what they need the most help with and where should we start in terms of treatment.
And I suppose if somebody is depressed or feeling anxious, they are probably less likely to reach for the healthy option in terms of their food intake. Would that be correct?
That is usually, you know, when people seek foods that have that they find comfort in. But often those foods that are that people consider to be comfort foods are discomfort for the brain. So in the moment, they may feel just fine and you might enjoy them. But over time, they are really ultimately just not good for your neurons, for your brain cells, for the development of kind of a healthy longevity and a healthy brain.
From a supplementation standpoint, in addition to anti-anxiety foods that we've been speaking about, should we be taking any supplements? I know you've expressed a fondness for vitamin C in the past.
I have. And I think that there is a role for supplementation. That's because none of us eats a perfect diet. We might try and make really good efforts, but none of us eats a perfect diet. So there may actually be nutritional gaps. Vitamin C is one of those great vitamins that helps with the absorption of extremely important nutrients in the body. And I think it's an easy thing for us to do. We can easily do that by eating citrus fruit. But here's what's interesting. The highest levels of vitamin C actually in things like kiwi fruit and red bell peppers, which have a higher level of vitamin C. So these are easy to incorporate. So I think that supplementation plays an important role in conditions like depression. For example, there's been a robust number of studies looking at saffron, the spice. And when we cook with saffron, we use a tiny bit. And the studies really had to use a supplement to test it because they needed high levels of the saffron. But they had really good data in relation to mood. So there's an example where someone may be struggling with symptoms of mood and anxiety that a supplement could be helpful in the form of saffron. Another one is ashwagandha, which has been used in Ayurvedic medicine for a very long time, but really has some promising data related to anxiety relief. So another one that we can, you know, consider adding to our repertoire of supports.
I know you detail anti-anxiety recipes that certainly will make your mouth water once you read them, for sure. Do you have any particular favorites, any go-to anti-anxiety recipes that you can give me now?
I'll tell you one of my favorites, something that I've talked about for a long time, and my grandmother's and then my mom, the golden milk recipe. So just, you know, your favorite milk, some spices, and really turmeric with a pinch of black pepper. It's just been a favorite of mine all along, and it's something that is universal. It's something that many people can enjoy. But some of my other favorite recipes that I really leaned into sort of my cultural background and my heritage around spices and Ayurvedic practice, I created recipes in the Mediterranean style, meaning combination of those Mediterranean foods that we know have so much of evidence behind helping with cardiovascular health and things, but I also added in an Asian component from the spices or the types of vegetables that we used in the recipes. So those are the ones I'm most excited to share with people and see what they think of. But the other thing that I did is that I made the recipes interchangeable so that, you know, I might be talking about tofu or an eggplant, but you can just as easily cook that recipe with those spices with chicken breast, or, you know, add some spices to or flavors to a steak or those herbs. I've made it interchangeable for people because I want people to be as flexible as possible, and not everyone eats the same diet.
And of course, I think the best thing about the book is the fact, and this is the same for your previous book, is the fact that everything that you include in it is based on science, up-to-date science, which is crucial to getting your message across about the efficacy of these foods for your mental and for your physical health.
This is correct. So I appreciate that. And I think it's so important just to be able to be backed by science and shared in a responsible way. We're not at a point of being prescriptive, but we have healthy guidance that we can offer people to feel better. And where we have such a mental health crisis, why not lean into it right now?
Well, the book is called Calm Your Mind with Food, A Revolutionary Guide to Controlling Your Anxiety. Dr. Uma Naidu, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks so much. It was lovely to talk to you, Matthew. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for listening to this edition of the Happy Habit Podcast. If you're enjoying tuning into the podcast, please like, subscribe, share, and leave the podcast a positive review. Until next time, stay happy.